Okay, basically, I'll be talking about the first theory of many-body localization, and it will be the theory of weakly interacting fermions. What I said.
Still.
The PA system's not working, so the speakers will just have to speak as loud as they can.
There's still some seats down here.
Yes.
Well, I cannot yell. I'm not in the business of teaching big classes, you know. Okay. Can you hear me now? Okay. I will try to speak loud, but I will not be able to do it for very long, but I'll try at least in the beginning. So I'll be talking about the first theory of many-body localization, namely the theory of weakly interacting fermions. Almost everything what I'll be talking about is written in a paper which I wrote together with Dennis Baska and Boris Altshuler in 2005, which is about 10 years ago. So it looks like it's kind of ridiculous for me to come here and talk about the old results. However, I do believe that very many, that a large number of ideas of those papers are actually quite relevant even now, and some of the results are being miscited, and basically I thought that it would be the best if you hear about this paper from me. The theory of many-body localization was created out of solid-state perspective. So what we will have in mind is the linear conductance of some sample, which is defined as the limit I over V at V equals to zero. And under some condition, you can get rid of geometrical factors and get notion of the conductivity. And then you take a limit omega going to zero first and T finite second. And this is important because those two limits do not commute. And then you plot sigma of omega as a function of temperature, and depending on the material, you can get three cases: superconductor when conductivity diverges at some temperature, metal if it goes at finite value, and insulator if it goes to zero. And the story of many-body localization is basically what is happening with the conductivity at low temperature, what are the mechanisms which make this conductivity small but finite, and whether we can get the case of zero conductivity. So this will be the outline of my talk. I will talk about formulation and the history of the problem. It will take some time with the introduction. Then I will present our results for fermionic system, and I will talk about what it means for the conductivity and for the property of the eigenstates of the disordered many-body system. I will describe the effective model. I will describe the technique, how we worked with this problem. And what we proved is the stability of the metal and the stability of the many-body insulator, which means that what we proved in this paper is the notion of the metal-insulator transition, even though we were not able in this paper to describe the critical behavior of the system at the metal-insulator transition point. And I believe that up to now, nobody actually can. This is the first equation which we ever write for our student when we start talking about Anderson localization. This is the Schrödinger equation, and this is the disordered potential. You can choose any ensemble you wish, and then you could look at the eigenfunctions as a function of the coordinate, and basically if the energy is low enough, you can see that locally they still look like a Fermi wavelengths, but due to the disorder potential, it acquires some finite envelope, and then depending whether this envelope still goes from one side of the sample to the other, or it has some special scale which is known as the localization length, wave functions can be separated as extended or localized. And practically it means that if you look at the conductance, in the case of the extended wave functions, you still can introduce the notion of the conductivity, meaning that the scaling with the size is correct. However, if the case of the localized, the notion of the conductivity loses its meaning, and instead you are looking at the conductance as the exponential function, of the size of the system in this direction, and this length is nothing but this localization length up to factor of 2. So most of the knowledge is based on the extensions and improvement papers of Anderson of 1958, and actually very many results from this paper were rediscovered several times. And what we know now that at D, geometrical dimensionality equals to 1, all states are localized. And the statement was proved for the first time by Gerstenstein and Vasiliev in 1959. And this was for the problem of the propagation of the radio waves in the waveguides. And of course, solid state physicists didn't read those kind of papers. And so in solid state, this result was for a long time was known as a solution by Mott and Twos. But in comparison with this, it's not a solution, it's a conjecture. And the exact solution in solid state for one channel was obtained by Berezinski. For multi-channel, there was a scaling argument of Tauliz, and then there was an exact solution, which was provided in two papers of 1983. For D equals to 2, all states are localized if there is no spin orbit interaction. There can be the critical state as discrete energies, like an integer quantum Hall effect. The proof was done in the paper, which is known by the Genkov force, or by the direct calculations of the instability of metallic phase with respect to so-called weak localization correction. And the first numerical evidence was obtained in 81. Now, the statement that all states are localized is really subtle. It means that for the finite system, the probability to find extended state scales exponentially with the size of the system. And there is a number, and this number is smaller than 1. So actually, if you look at the average quantities, then they will be determined all by the rare events, whereas the typical quantities are determined by the localization length, which is different by the number. And this is the important statement even now, because every time, even then you have experimental data and numerical data which contradict to those statements. And then there are a lot of work of some people who basically explicitly construct localized states for two-dimensional and for one-dimensional case. And they say that this explicit construction of a delocalized state, and this delocalized state basically disproves those kind of theorems, those kind of results. Those constructions are usually meaningless because they basically exactly the construction which gives you the exponentially small probability to find the delocalized state in the localized phase. And we will come back to this point later on when we'll start to talk about the many body localization. So at if dimensionality equals to 2, like 3, 4, 5, 6, and so on, there is a well established notion of Anderson transition, which on the simple case of the cube of the d-dimensional cube can be represented like following. You consider d-dimensional tight bonding model, you introduce on-site energies which are random, and you introduce nearest hopping matrix elements which are not random. So if epsilon I is uniformly distributed between some values which is called W, the statement is the following. There exists the critical hopping determined by dimensionality of the system. There is even explicit formula which can be obtained in the limit of the large d, that such that if I is larger than AC, there is a region of the extended energies, and there are two regions of the states which are localized. And the very strong statement which can be extracted from the paper by Anderson, that coexistence of the localized and the extended state at the same energy is not possible. There are some mathematical statement for some models, those which make the statement more precise, but the physical argument is basically the following, that let's suppose that you find localized state on the background of the extended state, however, the state is not protected by anything. Therefore, if you change the disorder a little bit, the state will be combined with the state of the continuum and will, as a matter of fact, produce you the local resonance rather than the truly localized state. The opposite statement works also in a localized state. Let's suppose that you're in the localized state, you form the delocalized state on the localized background, then you introduce a little bit of coupling, and this coupling immediately destroy the delocalized state on the background of the localized phases. So this introduces a notion of the single particle mobility H, which once again can be extracted from the paper by Anderson, but in the literature it's usually called mode mobility edges. Now, if I is smaller than IC, then all the states are localized. Now, temperature dependence of the conductivity it looks very simple. You just look at the band, and you try to figure out where your Fermi level is. Here, you are in the background of the extended state, it's clearly the metal. Now, if however you have a little bit larger disorder, then sigma of T is just Arrhenius law on the mobility edge, and this is the smallest conductivity you can have at that point. There are ways to increase it even more, but still, at any finite temperature, it will be finite, even exponentially small. Then you increase the disorder, and all the states are localized, which means that no matter how you fill the state, the conductivity will be zero at all temperatures. So, and then you have a very nice problem. You assume that all the states are localized. So in the model of non-interacting fermions, conductivity is zero at any temperature, and then you ask yourself what will be the mechanism which provide you with non-zero conductivity. Can it be due to phonons or due to the electron-electron interactions? And then, in this case, something is known. For metallic states, you can do high temperature expansion in metals, and this is nothing but the quantum correction to the conductivity. And you see that in dimensionality 2 and 3, which you increase the length, those conductivity diverges, which means that if you have non-interacting system, you take this L tilde to be geometrical size of the system, you see the instability with respect to the quantum corrections. Now, the point was that, as a matter of fact, this length can be not only the size of the system, but the length of the inelastic scattering due to the electron-electron interaction. And it was shown by Altshuler, Aronov, Khmelnytsky that for small dimensionless interaction strengths, there is a length which is called diffasing length, which is square root of d tau phi, and h bar over tau phi is dimensionless interaction strength lambda squared times temperature divided by the quantity which is dimensionless conductance, assuming that dimensionless conductance is the conductance in the unit of v squared over 2 pi h. So assuming that this quantity is much smaller than 1, you basically find out that metal is stable with respect to localization if L phi is smaller than localization length. So if temperature is high enough, you can calculate L-phi. It's very well-defined quantity. You compare it with the localization length, you recalculate G-L-phi, and then you find out that everything, and then you find out that at high temperatures, everything is consistent, and you can describe the transport very well up to roll quantum correction. So, which brings us to the following picture, that if temperature is high, you can introduce sigma of t at high temperature simple Drude, then it's driven by the quantum correction smaller conductivity, and finally you get to the temperature where the length L phi becomes of the order of the localization length, and then you have to stop. The theory is not valid anymore, and then you have to think about something else. And there is a point. At this region, you can calculate sigma of t in the linear response theory without any electron-phonon interaction. You can put the strengths of the electron-phonon interactions, and the result for the linear response will be still valid. So the strengths of electron-phonon interaction doesn't enter this curve at all. What do we know about very low temperature? It's also something is known. The conductivity is driven by the inelastic processes which are transitioned by the localized states. So no matter what you do, your conductivity is simply proportional to the rate of the real transition between two localized states. And so sigma of t is proportional to inelastic time. And due to the phase volume argument, you can conclude that at t going to zero, sigma equals to zero for any mechanism just because of the phase volume argument for the real processes. However, still the questions which you may ask is what is the conductivity at t larger than zero? And the answer was provided is S. Yole, S1968. So it was 1 year after I was born, so everything was important. Everything which was important was done before or shortly after I was born. Anyway, so and the formula and basically the idea is that you can get the energy which you are missing from the phonons. And the formula for the variable range hopping, which is due to Mott, reads the following, that here is the prefactor, which may be not that important, but later I will tell you that it's important. And then there is exponent, and the exponent is nothing but the level spacing on the localization lengths divided by the temperature, some power, which is determined by the dimensionality. See, and if you think about it, it doesn't contain any information about matrix elements, about phonons, about any microscopic mechanism. And if you think about it, this one is just the calculations of the phase volume, which is available of the real processes, and everything which depends on the mechanism is hidden in this prefactor. T to the power gamma, but what is important for me is that, as a matter of fact, this prefactor is explicitly proportional to the strength of the electron phonon interaction squared. And then, just as a remark, what is used here is not essentially important that the phonons and any bus with a continuous spectrum of the localized excitations down to omega equals to zero will give the same exponential behavior, maybe with a different prefactor. And as a result, we have the following picture. At high temperature, we have something like this, and the electron-phonon interaction strength doesn't enter explicitly into the conductivity, and here you have some behavior, but the prefactor is lambda squared, so it's essentially proportional to the electron phonon strength. Then you think about atomic system or about materials where electron phonon interaction is vanishing, and you all of a sudden face a problem that you cannot match those two limits. And then the most natural idea comes that can we replace the phonons with the electron hole pairs itself? in the interacting system and update phonon and obtain phononless variable range hopping. So just to replace electron-phonon coupling with electron-electron coupling, and just to say that electron-electron coupling is always of the order of one, and obtain the scores to be more or less universal all over the place. And then, and this is basically yes or no question, and of course it has a yes or no answer. The first answer is sure. Well, when I was writing this paper, I had very particular reference in mind, but I didn't want to offend anybody, so I just invented the reference, which reads "Person from the Street 2005." Now, preparing to the talk, I upgraded this reference. So it now looks like this. So now, if you try to really talk to this person from the street, he will enumerate you easy steps how to get the phononless conductivity. And the first thing, as any person from the street knows, the phononless AC conductivity T at any finite frequency can be reached without phonons. It's proportional to omega squared, and this is once again comes to the fact that limit omega goes to zero and T goes to zero do not commute. So it's h bar omega over C. Now you see that there is a formula. You can calculate the Nyquist noise using fluctuation dissipation theorem, and then you say that you can use the electric noise instead of phonons and do self-consistency, see whatever it means. You can pronounce many words like effective medium approximation, effective thermal bus approximation. My favorite word is called Caldera-Leggett, of course. But however, before doing that, you can look at the different answer. And the different answer is no way. And with the caveat that for the long-range Coulomb interactions in three dimension, maybe. And this answer is due to those answers were written in paper by Fleischmann and Anderson. And if you read it creatively, the argument which you can extract from there is the following. So what is sigma of omega? It is contributed by the rare resonances, meaning you have an infinite system, and you are looking for the resonant pair of the localized state. And this is probability to find those states in the infinite system. Now, however, we are looking for the transition of the electrons from the state gamma and delta. And in order to do this, you are not interested to find the resonant pair anywhere. You are interested to find the resonant pair which is connected with this transition by the matrix elements. However, in order to find those resonant state, you have to the you have to go to the distance going to infinity, then any matrix element vanishes, and as a matter of fact, out of this formula, you got the most universal coefficient in the world, which is equal to zero. So this is the conclusion of Anderson-Fleischmann paper. And now, basically, the paper, now answer number three, which was provided in our paper of 2005, is a finite temperature metal-insulated transition. Namely, the statement is the following. Let's suppose you introduce short-range electron-electron interaction, which is characterized by the constant lambda. I will write a Hamiltonian later on and explain what it means. However, the statement is that there exists a critical temperature Tc, which is determined by the level spacing on single particle localization lengths and the interaction constant, such that if T is smaller than Tc, in the limit of the electron-phonon coupling going to zero, the conductivity is going to zero, and at larger, and T larger than Tc, there will be some finite conductivity, and then you have a correction to the Drude formula. And of course, if lambda goes to zero, the scale going to infinity, in accordance with the formula for non-interacting fermions. Now, I was called that it's supposed to be called super insulator. Actually, it's not super, it's perfect, meaning in a sense that that any finite coupling with the phonon bass will immediately provide you with the finite conductivity proportional to the coupling squared. Now, temperature in the insulating regime is basically defined in a statistical sense as energy, as a derivative of energy over entropy. So, what follows from this picture is a many-body bibility threshold, and meaning that if you just take the full Hamiltonian of the many-body system, it's already not single particle function, but many-body wave functions, and epsilon alpha is eigenvalue of the many-body Hamiltonian, and then this picture is actually equivalent to the following picture for the many-body wave functions. So that there exists many-body mobility threshold. What's that? Just put it like this. There is many-body mobility threshold, which is extensive quantity, such that it separates all the eigenfunctions into two classes. All states below the state EC are localized, in a sense I will describe later, and all the states above this region, are extended. So all states are localized means that the probability to find an extended state is exponential function of the volume of the system, and here is some quantity which is localization volume, which diverges if energy is going to EC, but still there is exponential scaling with the volume. And here comes the catch, that the total number of state is proportional to the exponent of the entropy, and the entropy is extensive quantity itself, meaning that if you multiply this by this, that the number of the extended state can be much larger than one. As a matter of fact, it can be even exponentially scaling with the volume. However, for the transport properties of the system, it doesn't matter. What matters is this probability is extended for is exponential scaling with the volume. Now, the fact that all states are localized and the notion of the mobility threshold is being disputed by explicit construction of the localized state. For example, there will be, I'm sure, a very interesting talk tomorrow. But from the reading of the paper corresponding to this talk, my understanding that all those constructions are meaningless, more or less for the same argument which I introduced before. Anyway, I shouldn't have done so, but I do. Many-body localizations means that any excitations with respect to the wave functions are localized, meaning that if you perturb the Hamiltonian with a local perturbation which can excite any finite number of quasi-particles, and you look at the linear response, you see that, as a matter of fact, it's local, it's non-local in the extended state, meaning that L omega scales like 1 over square root omega, which corresponds to the diffusion, and L omega goes to constant, and omega I shouldn't write a constant, it can be for the rare state at log of omega, but it doesn't matter. So that in this case, the state is localized. So here is the picture again. Now it's pretty much similar to the Anderson picture. The only thing that here you have many body density of state, and here you have which is proportional to exponent of the volume, and here you have energy, which is proportional to volume, but other than that, picture is the same. And it's basically separate the localized states, meaning that the states never thermalized, and the states which are always thermalized, no matter how that it takes finite time, even though there can be very large relaxation time distribution. The question is, how come? I wrote this picture, it's very similar to Anderson transition. However, I told you that for one body case, there is Arrhenius conservation law, and here I drawn precisely the same picture, and I claim that as a matter of fact, there is no activation. The argument is actually going like the following. You try to evaluate the temperature just by calculating the contribution of the states at finite temperature, which is above the mobility edge. You do very simple calculations and you convince yourself that you are getting exponent. However, the exponent over here is proportional to the volume, so that in thermodynamic limit volume going to zero, this activation, this Arrhenius law is as good as zero. Now, once again, from the Anderson picture, it follows that if you consider the lattice model, meaning that the spectrum is limited from above, you can draw the theory, the picture for the small disorder, I drawn you the region over here, it was one mobility edge, then by symmetry you have to be have a second mobility edge, and it's clear that if you increase the disorder, those two mobility edges will collapse to each other, and you will get the statement which is now everybody is interested in, that all many body states are localized, and the statement was put forward by Agnesian and Hughes in 2007. Now, let's talk about physics of many body excitations. And the physics was, as a matter of fact, put in a paper which was very influential for me. And the paper was written by Al-Shuler, Giffen, Kamenev, and Levitov in 1997. And the reasoning is the following. Once again, let us go back to the Anderson model and try to figure out what this condition means. And I will remove this logarithm for the simplicity and for the sake of the time preservation. And then let's discuss what this 1 over 2D means. And it means a very simple thing. What is W? W is a maximal energy mismatch with two sides. What is 2D? 2D is a number of neighbors, is a number of attempts. Now, if the number of attempts is large enough, so 2D times I becomes of the order of the W, then with the probability 1, you will form resonant pair. Then you go to the next pair, do the same thing, and once again with the probability 1, you form resonant pair. Then you repeat this picture again, and you're getting the path in the space. And from what I said, it's not actually important that it's a geometric space. In principle, you can introduce any graph and try to put forward the same argument. And this was done in the same paper. This is a model of the quantum dot. Here is non-interacting system. Those are the fermions which can be taken with the spectrum for any random matrix. This is the interaction, which can be taken to be random. And then the approximation here is that there is no special structure in this, meaning that there is no locality, meaning that every state can talk to the other state with equal probability. And then you do the following. You excite the system. You can see the one particle excitations, you apply this Hamiltonian, it can produce three particle excitations with two electrons in the hole, this one can be produced five particle excitations and so on. Then you draw the picture and you find out that as a matter of fact, you have a very nice mapping which pretty much reminds beta lattice and the KL3, and this analogy was actually used. And what you need is, and what you basically need is dictionary. And the dictionary was also produced in this paper. So coupling between the states is, of course, nothing but the interaction matrix element. maximal energy mismatch is a single particle level spacing, because if you try to go to the higher energy mismatch, you will find immediately the other level, which is better. And the conductivity, as a matter of fact, is just a phase volume, which is available due to the initially prepared the number of the electron hole pairs, which are already in the system in which you at which you create excitations. You use Anderson result, and you obtain the result which follows from the metal insulated transition in zero dimension, which is Tc over delta 1 squared is 1 over lambda. Now, it was a discussion of zero dimension. It's a finite size effect, so as a matter of fact, strictly speaking, there is no transition at all. There are some crossovers, maybe. However, this paper, as a matter of fact, is one step. However, this paper of 2005, as a matter of fact, is one step further from the paper of 97. And the result is the following. And the ideas is the following. Here is one particle level spacing at all in all system, and the reason was that there were no locality. Here there is a locality of the matrix element, therefore the relevant energy mismatch is not a level spacing on the whole system, it's a level spacing on the localization length at which you have a coupling due to the matrix element by the interaction. Then you notice that, as a matter of fact, from this picture, localization in the Fock space and the localization in the real geometrical space is the same thing, which once again brings us to the factor delta xi. And finally, you have to know something about the energy structure of the matrix elements, and from the metallic system, you know that they're strongly dependent on the energy transfer omega, meaning that if you go at the level spacing larger than that, if you go at the energy transfer larger than the level spacing of the localization length, they drop down really rapidly. And this basically removes one power for the phase volume, and which bring us to this estimate rather than this estimate. Okay. Now, after I tried to explain everything with words, without formulas, I will spend the remaining time with actually writing something and describing the technique. So, what was the effective Hamiltonian which was introduced for the metal insulated transition? First of all, you are not starting with the system of the electrons with the disorder because you are looking for much more limited goal, namely, you try to characterize the system only at the distances much larger than the localization length. Now, therefore. Why you do it? Because in the opposite limit you essentially know the result. And of course it's very tempting to introduce the lattice model, which we did. And for this lattice model, the minimal special scales is the localization length. So which means that each localization volume includes the large number of states. Now, and for this volume and rather than writing the disorder explicitly, you just write that each single particle level over here can be taken from some random model, and I will tell you the model later on. So instead of disorder, it's a lattice of localization volume, and you have a large number of levels in each volume, and those levels are random. Then you introduce the coupling between the localization volume, like so. So non-interacting part of this model, if you wish, is a multiple site Anderson model. That's it. Multiple state Anderson model. Now, if you try to play a little bit, then you find out that it produces it reproduces correct behavior of the tails of the one particle wave functions, and it reproduces all the statistics of the wave functions as the large distances, and this is what you need. So the interaction Hamiltonian was originally short range. So you take the quartic interaction Hamiltonian, which involves only the levels with the same localization volume. And once again, instead of using disorder, you introduce the simplest model for the interactions, once again thinking that the Anderson transition is actually statistics of the resonant denominators rather than statistics of the numerators. So this is a model. Once again, here is non-interacting part, here is interacting part, and here the interaction matrix elements, they, for the technical reason, they just have a random sign, plus minus one. If you look about it, it just mimics the density operators, and you introduce the form factor just to take into account that, as a matter of fact the all these matrix elements are very rapidly decaying functions with the energy, and for the technical reason, for me it was easier to take it as a hard cutoff, but it doesn't matter, you can choose anyone. So here is the parameters of the models. So here is the quartic coupling, and here is the coupling between localizations volume. You have two three small parameters, and as a matter of fact, you can do the calculations very effectively, and that's what we did. So what was the other parameter for many body localization? It was coming from, once again, ideas from one particle localization by Anderson, which was used for the analysis of the beta lattice later on, and the critical behavior was studied by Yefetov. And the thing which you are looking for is the following. You look at the imaginary part of the exact single particle self energy, and by exact I mean exact for the given realization of disorder. If there is no interaction, then this gamma alpha is just a simple broadening which you introduce by hand, which would give you the direction of time in the golden rule. And originally in the metals, if you talk about the finite system, this gamma alpha looks the same like for metals and for insulator. Then you go further and further with the size, and then you see that in the insulator you will get finite mixture of the states, and the number will be finite due to the localization of the wave functions. If the wave function is extended, you go further and further in neighbors in the perturbation theory, and the number of states would grow. And as a matter of fact, because this eta is finite, then for the given realization, you get for the insulator just a matter of discrete peaks, whereas for the metal, you will get some smooth function. And then here you can take a limit eta, and then you take the limit volume going to infinity first. It's a smooth function. And then you can take the limit eta going to zero second, nothing changes. Here you take volume to infinity. You still have a system of discrete peaks. Peaks, you take a limit eta going to zero, the peaks collapse. Therefore, it's basically very well defined order parameter for the metal insulator transition, because it has a behavior which is different in different phase, and there is no continuous way you can go from this picture to this picture. So alternative way to look at it, it would be look at the distribution function, and if you translate this picture for the given distribution to the distribution function of the level widths, then you find out that the probability density for the metals, well, you look at this function.
Okay.